Praise the Lord. You enjoy the worship service? Amen. It's good to be sometimes in the presence of the Lord. You don't want to let it go. You just want to stay there. I just have a few announcements to make. The Lord's willing, this Wednesday we have prayer and fasting. And what we'd like to do by Tuesday night, if you have any prayer requests, call them in our place or Brother Craig. So write a note and give it to Brother Craig or to us. And Wednesday we'll type all the prayer requests and put them at the door. So when you come in to be able to read the prayer request and say, okay, that's what they need. If it's an unspoken, you can write John Doe, unspoken request, pray for it. You know, we don't have to know. Just as far as we are concerned, is we try to reach the throne of grace to get help from the Lord. That's all we try to do. Then, after we do this, three things to remember. When you come for prayer Wednesday, because we just dedicate this Wednesday because of the great and the major problems of the people, have three things in mind. The first thing, in order for our prayers to be heard, obstacles have to be removed between us and God, correct? Do you agree with that? So the first thing what I will say, pray for yourselves. Lord, I want to get this out of my way. Forgive me. I fail you. Just take care of that first. The second thing, give him thanks for what he has already done. You know, we're so selfish and selfish bound sometimes. We don't even stop to say thank you for something. We have been used to a world of in a hurry, and we forget even to pray sometimes before we eat. We just eat. And let's stop and thank the Lord. Says, Lord, thank you for what you have done for my home, my children, myself, for saving me. Tell the Lord thank you. And after that, we bring the request before the Lord. We'll be there. Just probably the Lord might put something in your heart to pray for somebody. One specific request might be the one that hits you more. But remember, when we put a prayer request, there are needs there. That's why we pray for. Don't take them light. And we don't put prayer requests just to fill up a page, but because there are needs and we have to meet these needs. Where the people suffer, you supposed to suffer, I'm supposed to suffer. That's Christianity. Outside of that, it's religion. Then I would like what I like to do from now until Wednesday. If you can, I'll give you three verses to read. And read these three verses and study them, write them in a piece of paper. And when you write them down, what I would like for you to do is to say, Lord, speak to me through these three verses. Now let's make it as a theme of our fasting and prayer for this Wednesday. That's in the book of Psalms, the 51st chapter, Psalms 51, verses 10 to 12. 51, 10 to 12. Make me to hear joy and gladness. I'm sorry, I said 10 to 12, I should say. 10 to 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I don't know if anybody that doesn't need that. Do you know that? All of us need it. The 11th verse, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. If we knew what we're reading, we'd be weeping. So much there. You know, the joy of thy salvation. We lose the joy of the Lord. with the things we do, the fusses we get, the problems that we have. And then we say, what's the matter with me? We should remove all the obstacles for that restoration. And remember that in prayer. Now, communion and washing of feet is the 15th of October. Remember the Saturday before, that's the 14th, we got prayer here. But communion is open. We don't have any membership. It's between you and the Lord. The scripture teaches us, let a man examine himself. The pastor cannot examine you. God has to examine you in your heart. Examine himself. I never close the communion to anybody. And I never intend to do that because it's upon the individual. And I always supported that. And I know of no church that has that kind of foundation like we do. He tells you to pray and restore that between you and the Lord. That's the key of the whole thing. So remember that. Next Sunday, I will be out of town and Brother Herb will be ministering here. So remember that in prayer. Something sometimes that we don't stop to say thank you. Sunday morning, we'll have 9:30 Sunday school for the children. And the children learn the Word of God, scriptures, and so on. And I like not to flatter anybody, because that's not a flattering pulpit, to thank Sister Lisa for the job that she has done. She took a lot of bumps from many things. But she keeps on going with the children. And the children love her. That's an excellent report, isn't it? You know? How many of you children like Sister Lisa that you go to classes? Raise your hand. Look at that. See that? They love her. So pray for her. That's why I'm saying this. For the Lord to give them the right scriptures for the little ones. One verse can be so deep in their heart that can keep them. The Word of God has to keep you. You cannot keep yourself. So remember that. And most of you know about the Bible Conference. We have once a year Bible Conference in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Originally, I said I don't want more than 40 people. Then they push it. It went to 60. Now, I got a problem. I have to admit that with the administration of it. That is, they wanted to see. Last time that it grew up, they wanted to get a bigger auditorium. And now the conference is closed this year. It's full for November. And normally, October and November is the heaviest coming in. If they don't close it, I just let them have their auditorium and I won't show up. So they'll learn. It's hard to do these things, but you have to do them. You know, you cannot work with a big group when you have a Bible study. You know, there are questions, the people back and forth. And the bigger the group, it's just like a riot, you know. No serious questions and everybody go. And just for the serious, so remember that in prayer, because that hurts me pretty deeply, but I have to make decisions. And I'm not going to be pushed anymore from things that I don't believe it's right. That's how it sounds like. Now, this morning I like to do something different. And that different that I'm going to try to do is when you study the Word of God, no matter how many hours you spend, I'll say I spend at least about 12 to 14 hours for 1 hour service. And these hours that you study, there are things that you study and you have to get them out of the way because probably it's too much for the people. And if you average the whole thing, probably we give out only about 4%, 5%, whatever it is. And because of the subject, I like, if I can this morning, I promise you at least once, to get into a little bit deeper if I can. And if it's confusing, just be patient and I won't do it again, okay? But we have to study the Word of God. Because you have no other place to go but the Scriptures. And unless you know where you stand in the Scriptures, you don't know what you're doing. And God has to reveal, God has to open it. And remember, you cannot say, I got the revelation, and what you think it is, it's against the Word of God. It has to agree with the Scriptures. So when you study the Word of God, you see, we heard the messages of Brother Branham, and one of them, Brother Branham, speaks about that great mystery, about the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is it? That mystery. And this is tape number 9. We have gone through it for about 8 tapes. This is tape number 9. And when we study this morning, be more serious. Look at the Scriptures. Open your Bible. If it's there, it's there. That's it. If it's not there, it's not there. Because I don't believe the pulpit should be used to give stories about when I was 18 down in the radar lines, you know. I mean, that's commercials, you see. We don't want that. We want to get into it. Sometimes you illustrate, but truth is truth. From these three areas, a threefold revelation of paragraph 89 of the books, Brother Branham speaks about the first one, is that God wanted to reveal himself to the people. We want to see who God is, right? Somebody says, God is there. God, how does he look like? What is it? What's it all about? You see, God wants you to know who he is. The second one we read on paragraph 91 is to have the preeminence in his body of believers. You and I, we are the body of Christ, the believers, and Christ wants to have control over everything. Because he made you, he created you. And in that preeminence of the believers, that's his bride, that he might live in the people. You see, God wants to live in you. It's not something that, oh, up there is God. People are looking for God. It says, I go somewhere that the Spirit is moving. You know, the Spirit can be moving, but it's better Christ to dwell in you. Because he's the one to give you conviction to repentance and keep you. And the last one is, the paragraph 100, the third, is to restore the kingdom to its rightly position that fell by sin by the first Adam. It's a restoration. You see, the original Adam will walk with God, talk with God, and now God wants to restore you and me in a relation that we can talk to each other. If you please, you can hear the word sometimes, reconciliation. What's reconciliation? To restore two together that there was obstacles before. And between you and God, and me and God, there was sin. So the removal of the sin restores back unto God. Sometimes you get a problem between two people, two men, two women, husband and wife, or children. You know, when that obstacle comes, there's tension there. Am I right? When you remove that obstacle, then it's peace and harmony. There's nothing to fuss about. The only thing you fuss is when it's insanity. You don't know what you're fussing about. And there are people who don't know what they want. That's true. But when we study the Word of God, I'd like to take you with me this morning to study very carefully. We're not going to cover too much materials, but we're going to get into it. Now, we read in the book of Revelation that revelation is what it is. It's the revelation of who Christ is. That's in the churches. How he's going to come. What's going to happen. How judgment is going to take place. How he's going to punish sin. All these things are right in there. But Paul, in the book of Colossians, speaks about who Christ is in a very definite and precise way. Now, before I get into it, I believe that the King James Version is the most accurate, as far as I know, knowing the Greek language and go back and checking the closest that it can be. And I have seen some very bad translations, and one of them I just reviewed for Nelson Company. I got that review that I don't believe it's even a Bible. It's that bad. And the people, and if the truth is perverted, then you don't know where you stand. But sometimes when we have something that we can go back and trace it to the original, we should do it. Because it pays for us to know. And that's why we're recording this tape this morning that goes to Far East, Australia, New Zealand, all over the world. Some places that we send. And people in this country, a few of them. But you see, it's up to them to check it out. They can go at any place to check it. We shouldn't hide something. If it's true, it should stand at any place, right? You know, true, then it stands. If it's wrong, we have to correct it. That's how we get to heaven. Now, in Colossians, the second chapter, if you turn with me, Colossians, the second chapter, I will be reading about some things, and probably you can work with me. On the first verse, Paul now speaks, "For I would that you knew," he says, "the great conflict I had for you and for them in Laodicea." Laodicea. Now, Laodicea is a city. The city of Laodicea was named after the wife of an emperor by the name Laodike. That was her name. He says this, "And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." Now, I'm getting into the second verse. Into the second verse, there are some things that we're going to read that we have to very, very carefully see. The first part of the verse is this, "that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto their all riches and the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Three ends there. And. Now, Paul's speaking here, and he says, "so that can be an aid," with other words, "to their hearts." The original text reads like that. "In apirothosin ekardian, prosklithosin ekardiafton." With other words, he's telling that he's going to give them some aid, something in them that will help them internally. Today we try to help ourselves externally, but we never reach inside. And what do? Externally, we take somebody and says, "Now, tell me your life history. Tell me about your father. Tell me about your mother. When you were 5 years old, did they beat you up?" And try to figure out the person. But you know, you can take a person that has a habit of alcohol or something, and you can take them to a group therapy, cry over one another's shoulder. But this is all right. We deprogram some persons. But what I'm talking about, there's something that Paul is speaking about inside. Because when inside things are solved, the outside, there's no problem. And when you see somebody that fusses all the time externally, that means they got a problem inside. And this problem can be mine, can be yours. None of us can be excluded. Don't think she's like that or he's like that, because probably you are worse than you point your finger to them. So you got to watch it. And by pointing their finger to them, you create a longer distance between you and God, because you got to restore yourself and repent for what you have done. So now Paul says, "I want to help you." And then he continues to bring together in love. That word, synvivastendes en agape, means, synvivazo means to be able to put together, to bring something together in love. Now people have tried to find what love is. Love, it's not something external. Love is a spirit, and God is a spirit, and the spirit of God in man is love. And he creates that, and will reflect that. And the world is searching for that all over. They go to bars and says, "Probably I get drunk to feel good." But when they get back, you know, well, they feel worse than they started. And we go back again. The alcohol doesn't work. Let's go a little farther. And man has tried everything. Then to go to entertainment. In such an insanity, they'll pick their pockets, they make them laugh, and they go going broke. Because there's something lacking inside. But when Paul continues now, Kespan Plutos, this pleroforias, Kesinesios, and in all riches of his full conviction and understanding. Now, you've got to understand something here. I still say I'm condensing materials by the hundreds. He wants you to have the full understanding, first of all. You know, people sometimes will argue. And they don't know what they argue about. Do you know that? They don't have the complete picture of the story. They don't know what they're talking about. You and I can sit and look at this mountain across from here. And you say, this is nothing but cactus. I don't see any rocks at all. But if you go in the back, they might be full of rocks. But you haven't been around to know the whole mountain. But you still say, it's nothing but cactus. And you argue about it. But Paul speaks about the full understanding, the full knowledge of it. And he wants you to know exactly what he's going to talk about. Now, in that understanding, and in that judgment or conviction, you see, when God is in you, you understand something, and understanding it won't help until it has that conviction from God to help you to know what you're doing. You know, understanding is all right, but you can take that understanding and kill somebody by your mouth. But the Spirit in you says, just stop, keep silent, learn. And many people sometimes, they want to talk. I haven't anybody to talk to. The Scripture teaches you also to keep silence. The most things that you can learn is not when you talk, but when you listen. And we're not willing to listen sometimes. I'm talking about spiritually. The Word of God tried to correct us. We want to just say what we think. Now the problem comes here, and watch that last part of the verse, which says, is a bigness into mysterio to Theou, comma, Christ. Now King James says this, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, if you take the direct interpretation of that, it says this. Listen to this. For the epignosis, or for example, for the fullness of knowledge of the mystery of God, comma, Christ. He didn't say, like the King James says, the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. These ends are not there. It says this. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, comma, Christ. It's not God and Christ. You don't try to know one and then the other, because God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Christ says, he says, I do nothing except what I see the Father do. Christ said, looks at himself, he says, me and the Father are one. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, where King James got this, I don't know. But I'm going to read it once more, because we're going to dwell a little bit this morning. Listen to what he says. I'm translating. It's a pignosing, with other words, to have that depth of knowledge, to mysterio, of that mystery, to Theou, of God, comma, Christ, not in Christ. So we're talking about a mystery. What's the mystery of God, comma, Christ? It's the mystery of God manifested in Christ. When you look at Christ, you say, who he is anyway? It's all the attributes of God manifested in Christ Jesus. And God now, in these last days, wants to restore his people to unite you and Christ in one. Now, the ultimate union, the ultimate understanding between what God wants you to be and Christ, in Christ and yourself, I'll read a verse later on in the service. But you see, Brother David, Paul is speaking here, and then he continues on the third verse, and he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? All the treasures. You want to find anything that's good? Look in Christ. Paul says, I want to talk to them about that. And then Paul starts describing Christ in this book, and listen to what he said. I went through a surprise when I started reading myself many, many things, because I went through some of these materials, but I haven't covered them the way that I should probably. On the ninth verse, he said this, for in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I look at it, King James, the Godhead is somebody of authority, the head. The power of authority makes decisions. You see, the arm doesn't make the decision. The toe doesn't make the decision. The head makes the decision, right? In him, in Christ, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But that word Godhead is not Godhead there. Because that's kephale. Because you don't have two heads in God, one only. Listen to what he says. Now, just one service, and you know what's going on. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In this case, the head is there. He's the head of all principality and power. But look. Let's go to the previous verse. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He says, what is that Godhead? I want to know. And you have the right to know. And Paul explains it. He takes that word Godhead on the King James. The original says Theotis, who means the divine nature, the divinity. But then I went to my Greek encyclopedia, which same like Webster or another encyclopedias. I started studying that. And it defines that Theotis, which King James says Godhead, defines it like that. The substance of God, the divine attributes. What God is, his divine attributes now, dwell in Christ. That's where salvation comes from. Do you know that? An external person joins the church. But when you get into Christ, this Christ, that Spirit comes in you and changes your life. You're not a member anymore of any church. You are born of the kingdom of God. You are from above. People say, put your name on the book. Which book is right anyway? In a simple statement that was made in one of the tapes, remember this. My name is David Mamelis. I was born in that home. Nobody asked me to join that family. Because I was born in it, right? And when you're in the family of God, you are born in it, and you don't join anything. It's Christ in you that makes you part of the family. So these attributes of God in him, that's in Christ, dwelleth the fullness of the attributes of God in a flesh form. I love that, don't you? You start dwelling on that, and you'll find the mysteries of God there. This these attributes is the first step that dwell in Christ. You might ask now, you say, Brother David, all right, that dwells in Christ. Where do I fit in the whole thing? I'll tell you where you fit in a minute. If you permit me, if you go with me I'll be getting into it in a minute because I will just jump around if I don't. Let's do it. Let's go to John 14:20. John 14:20. John, the 14th chapter, the 20th verse. Listen to the mystery here now. Very close. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's the fullness of the revelation of the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ in that verse. That Christ, the Savior, Jehovah, in flesh, dwells in you, and you dwell in Christ. Have you heard somebody, if somebody tried to get saved? If a person wants to get saved, he kneels down and he says, I want to get saved. So the pastor comes, or the deacon says, now, do you know how to pray? No, I don't know how to pray. He says, now, I want you to do this. I'll pray and you pray. And he says, okay. And the pastor starts, Lord, forgive my sins. Lord, forgive my sins. Lord, help me from now on. Lord, help me. And go through the prayer. And the man, when he gets saved, he hasn't received anything but just repeating words. Correct? Have you ever seen somebody else that really gets saved? It's not from the tears that he sheds, but something comes in him. Why? Me in you. The liberal theologist comes around and says, now, Brother David, this is going to happen when that unity takes place after the rapture. I beg your pardon. We got to look at the scriptures for the answers. Now let's go to 1 John for a minute. The epistle of 1 John is before Revelation down there in Jude. And if you go with me to the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, listen what it says. Hereby, he says, know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit. Not he will give. He has already given us of his Spirit. The unity is right now between Christ and his bride. Because from the person that is saved, that's why you need that Spirit in you. And pray, Lord, give me the Holy Ghost if I don't have it. I don't know what it takes, Lord, but give me the Holy Ghost. I don't understand it. It's a beautiful Bible, isn't it? So what makes you? He makes you and Christ to be in a unity. You walk and you say, this is the world. Somebody cusses you. You just leave them alone. That's not the environment that I want to be around anyway. Correct? You hear a lot. You brush them off. But listen to what John said here. Once and we are there. Well, the 13th verse says this. He says, we dwell in him and he in us because, why because? He hath given us of his Spirit. So you dwell in Christ. Christ dwells in you. The mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ. I love that, don't you? Well, you see what's going to happen to me. Just wait for a minute. Do you know that the scripture teaches that this is progressive? You say progressive? Yes, and instantaneous. You know, you get saved. You do things all right, and all of a sudden you fall on the floor, you collapse, you fail the Lord. What do you do from there? You're learning. When that spirit comes to you, you keep on going. It's not how many times you fall down. It's the power that makes you to raise up and get going. Don't look at your bruises. Just keep on the mark ahead of you and keep on going. If I failed you, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, John Doe. Forgive me, Betty Jones. I want to keep on going. That's it. That's where the victory is. And all the obstacles to remove. Why? You sit down there, look at me, the devil will stand around. Look at them. They did this. How come they don't do this? How come they don't do that? How come they don't do that? Why don't you close your mouth and say, why do I do that? I do that. And you found peace and joy. Now, in that same chapter, once we're there, if you go to the 15th verse, it tells you this, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. You see why? God and Christ is the same. Christ is God. He's not just another man. He's God. He can speak. The scripture teaches that all things were made by him, and without him there was made nothing. So we're talking about a unity. You see, now, I need help. I need help. You know the only help you get? You go to the people and say, do this, don't do that, do that, don't do that. Leave these people alone. They're going to destroy you. The bottom line is you need Jesus. And all these things are going to be answered. I love that word. I love that word. Look at the 16th verse. And who have known and believed the love of God to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. God and God in him. There's a unity there under the spirit of love between the bride and the groom, Christ and you and I. There's a unity. Have you ever been in a state that the devil fights you so bad that you don't want to be around anybody? Anytime you turn around, you want to bite somebody. Oh, give him another bite with our forky tongue. Have you ever been when the love of God dwells in you? Just brushes you off, nothing happens. Right? Let them kick me around. Who cares? I'm going to get on the other side anyway. That's what I want. So now God is teaching us something. That unity of the 13th verse is because he has given us of his Spirit. We grieve the Spirit of God away from us. We got troubles. We associate with demons. We got troubles. And this world is full of demons. We are in Sodom. You say, Brother David, I don't go around. You know sometimes how the devil can beat you up? It's what you read. Even the newspaper will grieve you. Everybody now, an example. I'm not for anything. That's the justice. Everybody says, what happened to O.J. Simpson? What happened? To me, I don't care. I feel it's an abomination. That woman, an attorney, should be home washing her dishes and take care of her kids instead of sitting with a babysitter. That's what I believe. Look at the home water we got now. In shambles. Nobody cares anymore for anything. We try to solve the problem and remodel something that's worse than anything else, than the whole court case. Let me get out of it. So now God wants a dwelling place. He wants to dwell in me. He wants to dwell in you. But I fail the Lord so much, Brother David. God bless you, because you know it. Because there are people that they fail God, they don't care. If you have that ounce of a conviction to tell you, you got to get going. I say, God bless you. The Lord is dealing with you. Stay with it. Correct? You don't, you get out of Sodom, don't look behind. You keep on going. Lot's wife looked behind, got burned, became salt. Don't look behind you. You keep on going. So now God wants a place to dwell. And if you go with me in just a few more verses, in Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians 3, the 17th verse, it says this. Ephesians 3, 17. That Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts, by faith, that ye have been rooted and grounded in love. He speaks about Christ to dwell in you. Now there's a difference between visiting and dwelling. If this is your home, you live right here. If somebody comes from outside, he just visits. Might be a relative, come to stay for a day or two, he's a visitor. And now he speaks about that Christ wants to dwell in you. He wants to make a place in you to dwell. And you know what? When Christ dwells in you, all these jokes and laughing around at the pulpit, you know, try to make the people feel good means nothing. It's trash. Why? Because he dwells in you. You have been taught about that. I love the Word of God. Get a person to take Christ in them, and you have an answer to all problems. And when you start seeing now, God now wants to have a place to dwell in me and in you. Go with me also to Ephesians 2:22. We're right there anyway. In whom ye also are builded together in a habitation of God through the Spirit. You might say, Brother David, I am going to do it. I got news for you. I cannot do it. You cannot do it. The Spirit has to do it. Then what the believer is supposed to do? Surrender. I was at the hospital the other day visiting Iris' mother, and I look at this. I said, can you imagine what's going to happen if they leave her without any anesthesia and start cutting on her back to have that surgery? She'll be kicking, make sure. What hurt me? No, they put her to sleep completely, correct? You and I are supposed to be dead to ourselves so that the Spirit. Then what do you say, Brother David? The key is to know how to surrender to him to do the job. Keep your hands off. Keep my hands off. And let him do the work. Oh, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to rededicate my life. I am. You do nothing. He tells you the Spirit has to do it. You keep on praising the Lord. Here I am. Sometimes it pays to stand still and say nothing. You might like to say, Lord, I don't know what I want, but I want something. I want you. I don't know where to start. Because he knows you. He made you. And he knows all about you. And the more we ask for things, We tell God what to do. Sometimes stand still. Say, Lord, I don't know what I want. I know whatever I want. In you dwelleth the fullness, the riches of everything. Please help me. Take care of me. The little boy, the little girl tells mother, Mommy, not this, this. And doesn't know what he's talking about. Mommy's patience. It's okay, okay. It will be all right. Keep on going. Get dressed, you know. You ignore all the blah, blah around until Johnny's ready to go. When you start seeing these things, you have to remember there's a difference between the revelation of Jesus Christ in us and with us. In the book of Matthew, when you go home and read it, the first chapter, the 23rd verse, we read that God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. He walked. We saw him. We felt him. He got two eyes like you and I. Got two ears like you and I. We saw him. But after the death and the resurrection took place, on the day of Pentecost, you know what happened? He sent his spirit back into the church to dwell in you and not only among you. So now that spirit dwells in you. What that Spirit is going to do, He's going to keep you. He's going to guide you. He's going to protect you. Everything is right in Him. Isn't it beautiful to know that God has done everything and has the means for you and I? Isn't it terrible to know that you and I try to tell Him what to do? Isn't it terrible? We tell Supreme Jehovah now, Lord, I want you to do this. Lord, please hear my prayer. Strike her dead, Lord. Strike him dead. To die to ourselves so he can live in us. That's your formula. Two more verses and we'll close. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Is this a progressive work or not? He travails until. You know, you take these little kids, a little boy there. They're born probably about that long. Needs time to grow up, you know that? What about if daddy grabs him up and says, hey, be a man? The little kid cries, doesn't know what daddy's talking about. Grabs the kids, take him to the barber shop, sit on the chair, give him a shave. He hasn't even grown up yet. What are you doing to the kid? Paul says, I travail. Until the Holy Spirit progressively deals with you and with me, with all our foolishness, all our anger, all our strife, all our bitterness, all the stuff. He's still striving and striving and striving. For what, Brother David? It tells you on that verse in Galatians 4:19. What is it? Christ, he says, to be formed in you. Remember, in you, not outside of you. Not the flowers at the altar when they bring them Sunday morning. Not this around you. Not the man that comes over to model the new suit or the lady with a new dress. We need God, all of us, in us, right? That's the key of Christianity. He says God to be formed in you. It's a progressive work. And you know, Paul, what he said? He must have been in a terrible. He said, I travail in birth again until Christ. He suffered. He suffered. That's the pain of birth. Travail. You know? someday I'm going to preach about the pain of birth. The scripture says, like a woman, you know, travail, so quick will be the judgment. You remember that? The pain of the birth is horrifying. But the expectation of the baby's birth is beautiful. Overrules all the pain. She says, is it a boy or a girl? You know, you heard about these things. In closing, let's look in John, the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter. John 17. The 21st verse. He says this, I, Christ speaks, in them, and thou in me. That's the mystery of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That they may be made, he says, perfect in one. There's a unity there. And that the word may be known that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. And thou hast loved me. Continue. Now the 23rd verse for a minute. I'm sorry. Go back for a minute to the 21st verse. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. Here's the unity. Here's the mystery. Here's what we're talking about. And the word may believe that thou hast sent me. And when you go home, read the 26th verse. Now listen how beautiful it is. You meet somebody in the street, he says, I'm a Christian. I want a place of business that I go and a young lady there. Oh, David says, I was baptized. It felt so good. You know, she was puffing her cigarette there. A mini skirt. She can't even sit down. It felt so good, she said to me. You know, every 15 minutes she has to get out. I said, a little thing in the crack of the wall that hides her cigarette, but smokes for a little bit. It comes in. Picks it up again, keeps it going again. So one day I was going to clean up that place, you know. So she said, oh, it felt so good. But you know, it's different between religion and life. Life is Christ in you. You walk. The average person said, oh, when the rapture comes, everybody clap their hands, we'll be okay. They don't know any difference sometimes. But you know what you say? If that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in my mortal body, I will raise up because of that spirit. Correct? The other person comes, oh, my name is on the book there, and I bought the pew and put my name on the pew in the first row. You're supposed to put it at the end, and nobody ever knows that you bought the pew. You should let the sinner come in the front. The next person comes around, my daddy was a preacher. I knew this and I knew that. You know nothing. If Christ is not in you, you're lost. Everything's religion outside. A mess. The people are looking for some model of Christianity. Look what he did. Don't look at him. Don't look at her. Look to Christ. They're going to take you under if you do that. You know, they're going to defeat you. You don't even know what's going to happen to you. But it's a beautiful thing now in that unity between Christ and his bride, the believer. That restoration power that restores you back in him. Brother David, when did he do that reconciliation? He did our reconciliation at the cross of Calvary. Really? Yes. Because the secret, if you're going to be in the rapture or not, it's not what you say, but if that spirit dwells in you. And Paul now at the cross, looks at the cross, should I say? And everybody says, oh, I wish you can see. I was a witness. I was there at the cross, sitting and watching. The blood was running down. And the crown of thorns. And Paul, you have to see. And the lady says, Paul says, I realize that. I'll be crying too. But I know something above that. What is it? I am crucified with Christ. When Christ died, I was in him. When he went to the grave, I was in him. I'm buried in baptism. When he rose up, I'm sitting now potentially in heavenly places. So what happened? I'm not an audience of the cross, but I'm part of the cross. I'm dead in the body of Christ because I'm dead in that body. That's the formation of the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I better stop. Cover 2 pages. Lots to go. But the mystery is what God has done for us. We are too proud, too selfish, too self-bound that we cannot see. Probably daddy works all day, beating himself in the job to buy a toy for his little girl, his little boy. He comes home with a toy, gives it to the little boy. The little boy kicks it out. Says, Daddy, I don't like that. We do the same thing with God. We're so selfish, we don't even know what we're doing. We need the Lord, right? You know? The songwriter that wrote, at the cross, when I first saw the light, that's where you and I belong. That's the light. That's where I let myself and I said, Lord, I know I'm no good. Not because of lip service. I'm not talking about to be compromising. I'm not talking about to be proud for being humble. No, that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the real thing. It's, Lord, I want you. I want you to help my husband. I want to pray when he goes to work. I'm going to be on my knees to keep him today from all the frustrations that the devil is going to face him. Lord, I want you to keep my wife and my children. My children are going to go to school and there's nothing but Sodom there. Keep them from any spirits of drugs and stuff like that. Protect these kids, Lord. Just keep them, Jesus. Please, Jesus, keep them. That's why we're supposed to pray for one another. That's why Wednesday we set aside to pray for our request. And where else are you going to go except to the Lord? Correct? Look at Israel. Anytime they got in trouble, they asked for God. God helped them. Then they get away from God. They go back to God again. Let's believe him. Lord, this Wednesday you're going to meet needs that we don't even see them. You know, when God answers, he doesn't have to have a big flag. He says, look what I have done. He's doing the job. And you expect it right now like that. Lord, I pray for 2 minutes and you're supposed to jump and give me what I want. No, he has his own time to do things, right? Let's stand. Let's close with that chorus of the cross, of the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart roll away, I'd like to ask Brother Gordon to close us in a word of prayer. At the cross, at the cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the roll away, it was there. By faith, I receive my sight And now I am happy all the day. Once more. At the cross, at the cross, where yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we need you right now, for within ourselves, we can do nothing but fail. Lord, help us, Lord, that this flesh be crucified.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that we walk in newness of life and after thy spirit, not after the things of the world, God. Strengthen us in our
Oh, God, help us, Lord.
Lord, the request of those that desire a closer walk with thee, help us,
Lord.
We would bring our flesh into subjection unto the obedience of your Holy Ghost power. Lord, we pray that your spirit would move within us, God.
Yes, Lord
help
Jesus.
Help us, Lord. Within us, we can do nothing but fail. Lord, we just thank you for your love this morning. Lord,
thank you, Jesus.
You know, Lord, you have everything we have needed. Forgive us our stubbornness, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, our complacency, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Rebellion, oh God.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, we need you this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word this day. Comforting, Lord, and strengthening, Lord.
Oh, Lord God.
We pray, Lord, you just purge each and every one.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Lord, deliver us from all filthiness.
Yes, Lord.
Wash us in your precious blood. Lord, we plead the blood right now.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's close with that chorus. I need thee, oh, I need thee. I need thee, oh. I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Yes, Lord, we need you. Every hour I Jesus Christ. Amen.